Some of you might be Cubs fans and are excited last night. The Cubs, after more than a century, finally have reached this World Series. They're going to the World Series against another team that hasn't been to the World Series in a long, long time. So it's kind of exciting for the World Series game to have these two teams that have been absent so long from the World Series to finally meet one another. But I want to take you back to the World Series back in October of 1989. It was October 17th, 1989. And the game was in San Francisco. People were getting ready to go to the game. It was about just after 5 o'clock. There were people coming out of work, getting to their cars to drive to the game or to get home in time to see it. There were people already filling the stands at Candlestick Park. Everything was ready to go when all of a sudden, those of us who were watching from home started seeing the cameras shake. And what happened was an earthquake occurred right before the game time that night. There was total chaos in the city of San Francisco and across the bay. There was all this chaos. Traffic was snarled because traffic lights were out, power was out, and people couldn't get home to see if their loved ones were there. They were trapped in traffic. But there was this one corner, this one intersection in the city where traffic was getting through. People were getting through easily. It was at the corner of Kearney and Pine Streets. And what was happening there was a homeless man that spent a lot of time on the streets in that area decided to get off of his butt, got up, walked out into the street, and started directing traffic so that people could get through and get home to their families. Just imagine that morning, the people on their way to work probably didn't even notice it. Stepped over him, walked around him, just turned their heads away as he sat there, homeless, looking for some food for the day. And people were on their way to work and just missed him. But that night, when something happened, he took the opportunity to change his life pattern, the pattern that kept him sitting on a sidewalk. He got up and said, "I'm going to do something to help." And he started directing traffic. And it changed his tomorrow. It changed the way he would be seen from then on. People noticed him. People took care of him. People made sure he had food. He was no longer this spot that they ignored. Because he stood up and changed his own tomorrow. To change our tomorrow requires decisions that we make today. And Jesus calls us to be, Jesus himself was a pattern interrupter. And he calls us to be pattern interrupters, to change our tomorrow. If you want your tomorrow to be better than today, you need to do something today that will do that. You know, a lot of football games are going to happen today. Some of you may be surprised to hear that. But there are football games on television you can watch, all kinds of them. And guess what? What happens today is determined by what they did this week as they prepared for the game. They don't just finish a game and sit around all week and hope, well, let's hope we're better next week. They do something. They take action to prepare for the next game. And so what happens today will be based on what they've done in this whole week getting ready. And what happens tomorrow will be based on the things they do today. And it's the same with our lives. It's the same with our lives. What happens in our lives is based on what we do today will make the difference for tomorrow. What we learn from all of them is that to change our tomorrows means we have to take action. We have to take responsibility for our world. We have to take responsibility for the world around us and the world that we live in and our world. That's within us. We can't spend our lives pretending that we're just the victim of circumstances, that we don't have any choice over all the things that go on. We always have a choice to, with whatever we face, whatever circumstances happen, we can be a victim to it, or we can take it and use it to do something to glorify the God we love and worship, the God who created us and made a difference in our lives. Abraham Lincoln said that the best way to predict the future is to create it. Create the future you want. Create the future that God has called you to create. Create the future that's happening in the realm of God. Jeremiah was a prophet who, Jeremiah was a bull prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet. Well, the kids are like, why are you laughing at that? Someday they'll know the song. But Jeremiah was a prophet during the time of the Babylonian Empire and in exile. And all the people were in exile. And they'd been taken from their lands, taken away from their homes, scattered around the Babylonian Empire because they knew that the best way to, in those times, the best way to destroy your enemy is to separate them so they can't get together and fight back. You assimilate them into the culture. And everything you owned would be lost, your land, everything you had. Jeremiah shares in the 32nd chapter that something happens. He has a word from God comes to him. Buy the land. Your cousin is coming to you and is going to offer you the land that is rightfully yours. Buy it from him. And what's crazy on the surface of that is that to buy the land is worthless. It's no longer going to be his. He can own it, but it'll be taken from him. But Jeremiah trust that God has a plan for this. And when his cousin shows up later that day and says, Jeremiah, this land is rightfully yours. I want to sell it to you. Jeremiah feels this is God's word and buys that land. Now, why is that important? Because Jeremiah is being used by God to give hope to the people. He's saying, I have a future in plan for you. I have a future that's in store for you to restore the land. And through you and this action of buying the land that everyone is going to say is worthless, you will change their hearts. You will give them hope. You will show them that there is a plan. That God has not abandoned them, has not rejected them, has not sent them off and said, I'll never see them again. But God said, I will bring them back. I will restore the land. So Jeremiah takes an act that seems silly on the surface that day, seems ridiculous to take the step forward, but he does so. He buys the land even though it'll become worthless for a while, trusting that God will bring him back to it. And God does. And the people see the hope that Jeremiah brings to them. Listen to the gospel lesson for today. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off. But Jesus was irate with them and let them know it. He said, don't push these children away. Don't ever get between me and them. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. I'm reading from the Message version. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of this child, you'll never get in. And then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid hands on them and blessed them. Now, why is that important for us to see what tomorrow, how that changes tomorrow? Well, let me give you a little bit of statistics about what was happening in the time that these children were being brought to Jesus. 30% of the children that were born in the time of Jesus, 30%, almost a third of them, did not live past the age of one. They would die in infancy. 30% of those children that survived past one would be dead and gone by the time they were 6 years old. And then 60% of those that survived would die before the age of 16. So if you took that and did a statistical thing and looked at it, I figured it out that out of 10 children born, only maybe 2 of them would survive to adulthood. That's pretty sad. These women, these are peasant women who know that their children, the chance of their survival is so low that they're wondering, is it worth having children? And can I bear the pain of bearing children that so many of them I'm going to bury? So they hear that Jesus has come and they go to him, this man of God, and they say, please bless our children. Give them a chance to live. And if they can't live, at least bless them so that I have hope that they go to God when they pass away. In that time, people tried not to get too close to their children and to other children because they knew that the chances of their survival were so small. They didn't want to hurt. You know, you sort of build walls of protection. And, you don't want to have your heart broken so much. So they would try not to get too attached. And so children were kind of kept to the side, kept out of view. In fact, they often kept children away from people because if you remember a few weeks ago, I talked about the evil eye. People were afraid of the evil eye. If someone were to look at their children wrong and they could kill their children, it would, you know, send some kind of evil spirit upon them. So they didn't want their children to be seen by people. They were trying to give them every chance at survival. These peasant women bring their children, their infants out into the open, risking everything to say, I want to give my children a chance at life. Jesus, please bless them. And the disciples are going by the old pattern of, you know, keep the kids out. You know, we don't waste time on children when they're young. You know, give them a chance to grow up. If they make it, we'll do something. Jesus says, no, you can't do that. The kingdom of God is built around the simplicity and the love that a child has, the way they reach out. And he says, I'm not going to hold back. Let them come to me. Never stop the children from coming. And he blesses them. Gives them hope. Gives their mothers and fathers hope. There will be a future for their children. Changes their tomorrow by the actions he took that day. And that's what Jesus did every time he met with people. He changed their tomorrow. The life they were living, the patterns they were caught up in, he said, I want to change that for you. I want to break you out of that pattern and give you a new life. Whether you're suffering from an illness and thinking that God has rejected and punished you, I'm going to show you, know that it's from the glory of God is going to come for your life. The glory of God is going to be shown through your life. Jesus broke the patterns of thought and belief in the people so that they could have hope and live forward. They could have excitement about their own life, joy about being alive, hope for their future. So he changed their tomorrows by doing something today. And we can change our tomorrow by making decisions that we make today. We have the power because God has given us the free will to make choices. To love in the face of hate. To be at peace in the midst of chaos. Like the homeless man in San Francisco that said, I'm not just going to sit here, I'm going to do something to help. We can step forward and change everything in our lives and make a difference. Many of you, I'm sure, know John Leguizamo, the actor. Who knows John Leguizamo? Not know a person. I see a few hands. How many of you know Sid the Sloth from Ice Age? He's the voice of Sid the Sloth. But John Leguizamo has done a lot more than just Sid the Sloth. Just to give you a quick idea of some of the stuff he's done. He's not only an actor and a voice actor, he's been a producer, a writer, a playwright and screenwriter, and a comedian. He's appeared in over 120-some films. He's written 10 films himself. He's produced 17 films and TV shows, starred on Broadway in several productions, including one of his own. He's won several awards, made over a dozen television appearances, and he produced and starred in many other shows. 1,900 times he's been nominated for awards. But that wasn't the life he was heading for when he was a young guy. When he was a young guy, he was one of those people at school that seemed to have difficulty learning. And because of it, and because he was a small guy, he was picked on a lot, he was bullied, and he lived in a neighborhood where people would often try to beat you up if you were small and an easy prey. So he developed a way of making humorous comments and being funny to try to avoid being beaten up. And that just kind of became part of his life, and when he was in high school, he was constantly cracking jokes and sort of interrupting the teacher's flow of teaching and making it very difficult. And he was often sent to the office for that because he wasn't participating well and cooperating. And he was just generally heading into a life where he was going to go, as he said, I was heading for probably jail or something like that, because I was just always trying to be the wise guy, getting into people's faces, sarcastic. And it was his math teacher one day who, being frustrated with John and his antics and everything else, finally said to him one day, he said, why not rechannel, John, all that hostility and that humor that you have into something that's productive? Have you ever thought of being a comedian? John says it was like, bam, a light went off in his head, and he thought, I never thought I could ever do something with this. He never thought about that. He had no idea what his future would be. But suddenly, he had a goal, an idea. And he channeled all of that into making something happen with it. And through some rough years getting started, he finally made it. And today, you know, he's beloved as Sid the Sloth, but he's also done some very important, some very eye-opening kind of films that challenge people's perspectives, that challenge our prejudices. He's made a difference in this world because he changed his tomorrow by breaking the pattern, or taking the pattern and channeling it into something productive. So, wherever you are right now in your life, whatever challenges you might be facing, today, Sunday, October 23rd, is like the first day. There's a book of your life. Open it up and it's all blank. There's nothing in it yet written. All, forget about your past. Let's just look from today. There's nothing written today about your life. God has said, it's time for you to start writing your story. Page one, chapter one, is for you to write. And it's called opportunity. Today, when you leave this place, maybe before you even leave, God is going to tap on your mind and on your heart and say, let's begin to make a change. Here's an opportunity I'm going to open for you. I'm going to present to you an opportunity for change in your life. And it will change your tomorrow and the rest of your life for the better. Not for the easier. But sometimes we think, if we follow God, then everything is easy. It's not easy. It's hard. But it's better. Because you're following your heart. You're following the passion God has put in you. The fire that God has put inside of you to burn for something to change. And God's going to tap you today and say, here's your opportunity. Write in that book now what's going to take place today and what God is going to move you forward in, and where you're going. So be aware. Be alert. Because opportunity, when it comes, doesn't keep hanging around for long. So you need to say yes when that opportunity shows up. Amen? Amen means yes. Amen.